This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to speak to Cole Reinwand, who is the Vice President of Product Strategy at Earthlink. Welcome to Utopia Media's Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thank you.
Where does Earthlink rank today among Internet service providers in terms of number of people served?
In terms of total number served, I think we're in the top 10, probably between 7 and 10. In terms of dial-up, we're much higher. I think we're fourth overall.
Do you have some rough idea about how many people get their Internet service from Earthlink?
Yeah, we currently serve 5.4 million subscribers.
Okay. Tell us what you do as VP of Product Strategy.
I'm part of the Municipal Networks Division at Earthlink, and my focus is on developing proposals and products for cities that are considering deploying municipal networks.
Okay, let's be more specific. Wireless Philadelphia has just reached an agreement with Earthlink. What's the scope of what Earthlink's going to be doing in Philadelphia?
We've developed a very comprehensive plan with Wireless Philadelphia to address a number of issues. We think that it's beneficial to both Philadelphia and Earthlink. Some of the key things that we're going to address with Wireless Philadelphia, first, the issue of digital inclusion. Wireless Philadelphia is very interested in increasing the number of internet users and computer users in their city.
What kind of specific plans, programs, or structures are you going to implement to do that?
There's a couple of things that we're doing to help. Number one is Earthlink will be creating a subsidized product that will be available to qualified end users at a rate of $10 or less per month.
Okay, and how broadband is that service going to be for $10?
It'll be the same as Earthlink's retail product. It'll be a 1 megabit per second service, symmetrical, both up and down stream speeds.
Okay.
And it'll include all the core internet services that Earthlink offers today, including our protection suite, the email, the personal start page, and so forth.
What is that service likely to cost for people who aren't being subsidized?
We expect that the retail price will be below $20 a month.
Okay, so essentially it's a little bit about, a little less than half or so?
That's right.
Okay. Who's partnering with Earthlink in the Wireless Philadelphia project?
Earthlink is partnered with two hardware vendors. First is Motorola, who will be providing the backhaul equipment. We'll be using the Motorola Canopy Advantage solution. That will provide the backhaul out of the from the mesh nodes back into our Internet POP. For the actual mesh Wi-Fi layer, we'll be using equipment from Tropos Networks.
Okay, so it's essentially Tropos, Motorola, and Earthlink partnering to produce the network.
That's right.
Okay. What, if anything, is going to be the responsibility of Earthlink in running the system? It was my understanding that Wireless Philadelphia was essentially contracting for the infrastructure, and then multiple ISPs would be able to provide the actual service. What's the structure of that deal as it now exists?
It's essentially the same as you outlined. Earthlink will be responsible for the financing, deployment, and ongoing operation of the network. We have created a plan for open access where we will make available wholesale access to the network to other service providers that are interested in providing competitive services in Philadelphia.
So Earthlink is going to be providing the wholesale internet access?
Yeah, we'll be providing wholesale access to other interested ISP partners, providing a retail product ourselves.
Oh, okay. So are you going to offer that retail product throughout the city?
Yes, we will be providing that throughout the city, and then service providers will be participating with us on a non-discriminatory basis. We think we've developed some good parameters with Wireless Philadelphia to make sure that we can assure a level playing field among all the competitors.
This sounds like what the FCC and the Supreme Court has said is not necessary for incumbent telephone and cable providers to provide in their areas. Is that right?
Essentially, that's true. Earthlink has long been a proponent of open access, and we've lobbied for this for a number of years, attempting to gain access to use the DSL and cable companies' lines.
Right.
Having argued this position for a number of years, Earthlink definitely has a very good understanding of what the benefits of open access are.
So you're essentially practicing here what you've been preaching.
That's right. I mean, there are a number of advantages. There's advantage, we think, in having several service providers helping to, sell and utilize the capacity on the network. There's a upfront fixed investment, and, the incremental cost of adding more subscribers after you've built up that network continues to decrease. So there's extra value being created by having more service providers selling.
Will you be providing the services on a wholesale basis to the retail providers on at a price point that they'll be able to undercut your price and make money for themselves?
They could do that if they wanted. The access wholesale access service will be provided at a rate that at least 60% of what Earthlink's retail price is. So if they wanted to sell below our price, they would be welcome to do that. If they wanted to sell, basically they're free to determine their own pricing in the marketplace, and it really will have to do with the additional services that they're going to bundle. As I mentioned, would bundle email and protection suite and other services that will allow us, we hope, to charge a fair price.
Do you imagine that there are going to be large competitors who want to take the whole city, or that there'll be neighborhood ISPs, or what do you see as the eco structure of the system as it rolls out?
When we partner with service providers, we plan to provide a solution whereby the consumer would have access to the network across the entire city, so we wouldn't limit them to certain nodes or neighborhoods.
Right.
In terms of the service providers that we're talking to today, they include both large national ISPs and small local ISPs. All are equally interested and enthusiastic about the model that we've developed.
Okay. What's the timetable starting from today to final comprehensive rollout of the wireless Philadelphia system?
We're currently in the process of finalizing the contract with Wireless Philadelphia. We expect that to be done around the first week of December. Following that, we will begin a 15-square-mile proof-of-concept deployment in which we'll build out 15 square miles, run a series of tests, and once we've accomplished the acceptance criteria, we will proceed to build out the entire network. The proof-of-concept is expected to run until roughly March 2006,
right?
And the full network would be deployed in the fourth quarter of 2006.
Fourth quarter. How many square miles will the whole network entail?
135 square miles.
So you're going to do about 10% of it starting on December 1st?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
And will it incrementally roll out after that, or you're going to build the whole thing and then turn it all on at once?
It'll become available in phases. So as certain neighborhoods and sections of town are become live, we will begin to sell services along with our service provider partners.
Okay, and will Earthlink be involved in the provision of content, either from schools, hospitals, the city, or entertainment providers? What's the structure between Earthlink and content providers?
Well, each service provider will have the ability to bundle content with their solutions as they see fit. Earthlink will also work with Wireless Philadelphia and the City of Philadelphia to place some of the city's local content on the landing page for the service. So we may have links going to Wireless Philadelphia talking about the nonprofit and their goals, as well as to the city and certain city's websites that are of interest to the community.
Is there envisioned something along the lines of public access that the city or Wireless Philadelphia will be doing, and what about the schools and educational access to this network?
Earthlink also has made some accommodations in terms of providing free public access in parks and public spaces. Those are, we're in the process of determining where those will be exactly, but you could imagine that certain municipal buildings or schools could receive free access as part of the arrangement.
Okay, and what about the question? You mentioned that there'll be a subsidized service at about a $10 rate. What about subsidized devices? We're talking here about the network, but you can't use the network unless you've got a device.
Mm-hmm.
What role, if any, is Earthlink going to play in that, or what's Wireless Philadelphia's plan or the city's plan to increase the likelihood that individuals will be able to access the network?
When you're talking about the disadvantaged citizens,
right?
In terms of providing them equipment, now, I mean, we're not only talking about the network access equipment required to connect to the wireless network, but we're also talking about PCs. Earthlink has developed a very compelling solution with Wireless Philadelphia to help support this. This would include revenue sharing. So for every access product that's being sold by Earthlink or by service provider partners, we anticipate providing about 5% of the revenue to Wireless Philadelphia to support the purchase and distribution of either brand new or refurbished computers to those people. So Diana Neff, chair of the board of Wireless Philadelphia, her goal is to get 10,000 computers out over the next 5 years, and we think that we've come up with a solution that will allow her to do that. In addition, Earthlink will leverage its relationships with OEM PC manufacturers, as well as other interested parties that are in the value chain, such as chip manufacturers or networking equipment manufacturers, to help support the program through marketing dollars and through equipment donations.
Okay. Now, you said that the mesh network is going to be built with Tropos radios. These are Wi-Fi radios, right?
Yes.
What's the current idea about the integration of WiMAX technology into the system, or and what's the general structure that you have in place for the evolution of this system to more advanced technologies as they become available?
Earthlink's model is unique, I think, and one of the reasons why Wireless Philadelphia found our proposal to be so compelling was that Earthlink has included a very significant budget to upgrade the network over the course of the relationship.
How long is that relationship?
It's still being negotiated.
But
Earthlink anticipates replacing our budget. Anticipates replacing about 4% of the equipment each quarter. So what that would result in is a complete network refresh every 6 years. We have the money to spend as the technology becomes available and it makes economic sense and will provide the performance we're looking for. We will go ahead and upgrade the network. WiMAX, our feeling is that it's still a little way away in terms of being technologically available. The certification process on the 802.16d equipment is just getting underway, and then Earthlink's looking forward to 802.16e. But really, it's once the technology certification has taken place, there's still the issue of economics and having the pricing come down a little bit to make it really feasible to use in our network. But we do have a vision for using that, and it's in our product roadmap.
Have you looked at WiBro, the variant of 802.16e that the South Koreans have been working on?
Yeah, we've been looking at WiBro as well as a number of other technologies and specifications. This project was really born out of our Earthlink Next Generation Broadband group, which is responsible for looking at a variety of alternative technologies. And as part of that, we will continue to have that group, drive technology evolution our way so that we can integrate that into the current generation of broadband network.
Okay, and speaking of integration, what procedures exist for the integration of EMS, fire, police, first responders generally within the Wireless Philadelphia arrangement?
Earthlink will make available up to 3,750 accounts for the municipal government to be split between the regular municipal workforce, such as inspectors and social workers and so forth that are in the field, as well as their public safety personnel. The public safety personnel and municipal workforce will each have a unique way to log in, which will be private, so that the public wouldn't actually be able to log into those networks, so they'd be protected. And then, there will be certain traffic prioritization protocols implemented to support the public safety personnel so that their data requests and so forth will be fulfilled with a higher priority than regular consumer traffic.
So it's going to give priority to the public safety forces, but it's also going to separate their network essentially from the network used by the public for their purposes.
Exactly. There's a virtual networks are being built to support each one of those user groups, and then separately will be the regular consumer population.
Okay, we've talked in many specific ways here about what Wireless Philadelphia is going to do. Could you say just a little bit, as we sort of wrap up this part of the conversation, about what you see this doing to transform Philadelphia and what the overall effect of all this is going to be on the people in the city, government, and institutions within Philadelphia?
Sure. I mean, this is all driven, of course, by Mayor Street's vision and Diana Neff's execution. I think that we're already seeing some of the effects of the network on the city without the network even being built yet.
Right.
Cities around the country are looking to Philadelphia as a leader in how to create a 21st century city.
Okay, well, that's what I want to talk about next. How much of a viable model for other cities do you see what you're doing with Wireless Philadelphia to be?
We think it's extremely viable and one that a lot of cities will be considering. I think cities are, understand their constituents' needs best, and I see definite benefit in providing customers with additional choice. So we're already seeing a lot of interest from major cities around the country.
Can you say anything in terms of numbers of cities or the size or even specific cities where this is most advanced right now, consideration of similar programs?
Sure. EarthLink is in the process of talking to over 20 major cities in the U.S. At different stages of development. You probably know that the city of San Francisco has issued a request for information and comment. We're also seeing RFPs in the marketplace from the city of Portland, Oregon, Denver, Long Beach, California, Anaheim, California, and so forth.
So it sounds like the cities you named are all on the western side of the Rockies. Is this spread all over the country as well?
Yeah, the city of Minneapolis, for example, is right in the process of evaluating proposals right now. EarthLink submitted a proposal to Minneapolis as well. We're seeing interest in every corner, the southeast, the northeast.
Did Google say they would do this for San Francisco for free? And does that would that be in cooperation or competition with you?
I can't really comment on what Google's plan is, other than what I've read in the media.
Right.
Google's an existing partner of EarthLink.
Right.
And we've had a number of discussions with them about municipal broadband and what our viewpoints are. I think we see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we disagree on some issues, and we'll continue to work that relationship and see how it develops.
Okay, because in the media, some reports have floated around that Google is buying dark fiber and building hotels for servers and planning a massive alternative Google-based internet that it's going to essentially used to maybe even give away service in order to increase advertising flow. Is EarthLink involved in that, or opposed to it, or encouraging it, or is there any relationship between what EarthLink's doing and what Google is said to be thinking about?
No, I can't speculate on what they're doing there.
Okay. Talk about the federal and state regulatory picture vis-a-vis municipal broadband from your perspective. Before Philadelphia went ahead with Wireless Philadelphia, Verizon did everything it could to stop it, and there was a lot of legislation and back and forth last fall about this. What's the situation now vis-a-vis Wireless Philadelphia's right to do this, and what do you see emerging as the patterns on state and federal levels to regulate it? And maybe we can get into some specific federal legislation that's now pending.
As far as I know, in Philadelphia, there's no issue. Verizon, granted an exception to the city of Philadelphia to proceed with their project.
Right, but what about the rest of the state? Could you do what you're doing in Philadelphia in the rest of the state?
I think that right now there's still some open discussion about what's happening. The state is holding hearings at this point and talking about extending the deadline, which was January 1st, 2006,
right,
for when that would that bill would be enacted. So I think there's still an open debate about what should happen. I think the certainly communities are making their voice heard.
You're saying that the provisions in House Bill 30 that was implemented at the behest of Verizon in Pennsylvania is up for legislative renegotiation?
That's my understanding, is that the actual act doesn't take effect until January 1st, 2006. That's when any cities that have begun their projects before then would be grandfathered, and I think there's some discussion of extending that deadline so that there can be more of a public debate about whether municipalities should be allowed to determine what their city's needs are.
If Philadelphia is looking good, do you think that would encourage the rest of the state to demand that they have the right to do the same thing?
I think a lot of people in the state are don't want to be they don't want the options taken away from them at this point.
Okay. Now, speaking of taking options away, there's legislation pending in the U.S. Congress from Congressman Sessions, whose wife works for SBC and whose family seems to own about $500,000 of SBC stock, to implement essentially a House Bill 30 precluding municipalities from offering muni broadband around the country. What's the status of that bill, and what's the position of Earthlink on it?
It's an interesting position.
H.R. 2726.
Very interesting. I mean, there's also, alternative legislation being proposed that is just the opposite, saying that cities would retain their rights.
Right, from Senators Lautenberg and McCain.
That's right. Earthlink's in an interesting position in that we represent sort of both sides of the issue. We think that cities know their needs best and should have the right and option to figure out how to address those needs. At the same time, Earthlink is a private sector company, and is we think highly qualified to provide these networks and services to end users. So, in the case where there's an argument that says municipal networks, broadband networks, should be deployed by private companies, Earthlink tends to agree. We think that we're very qualified to do that, and we would be happy to do that in partnership with a city. I think a lot of cities don't realize that the ISP business is very difficult, and that Earthlink can really provide a lot of value to them.
So in fact, you support what's essentially a public-private partnership along the model of Philadelphia for other cities.
That's right.
Which works for you.
We think that's the best model, and the nice thing about Earthlink's model is it's an open access model where other service providers are allowed to sell over the network. So it really reduces the pressure on the government because they've avoided creating a business model that has monopolistic characteristics.
Right. So essentially, the model that's being pioneered in Philadelphia, where there's a nonprofit, in this case Wireless Philadelphia, and private contractors, in this case Earthlink, to build and operate the network, but to allow multiple ISPs to offer services over it, seems to you to satisfy both the need for public provision of a public good, as well as acknowledging the efficiency and importance of the private sector in providing these services.
Absolutely. We're very proud of what we've done with Wireless Philadelphia. We think we've really developed a winning situation for both parties.
How does wireless broadband figure in either to complement or compete with cellular technologies that deliver broadband, such as EVDO and EDGE?
The Wi-Fi service that we will provide will have a better performance in terms of throughput. Our service will be 1 megabit per second upstream and downstream. And the cost of our service will be much less. Our retail price, the goal is to have that under $20, and I think the retail price right now for those EVDO type services are $60 and above with several year commitments.
Okay. Now, from your point of view, building and operating networks, you must do some thinking about what people are going to be using these networks for and how they're going to use them. Could you share with us a little bit about what your studies and thinking are about the evolving use of networks by business people, students, general public, in terms of cell phone versus laptop versus PDA versus working at home, telecommuting, using access to the net in coffee shops and so on. What do you see as the emerging sort of techno-demographic patterns of computer and other device uses that your networks are going to be designed to service?
Well, it's initially Earthlink is looking at this service as a fixed service to the home, really a stepping stone from dial-up into broadband.
Okay.
For users, and that's our target. We've created pricing that will be attractive to existing premium dial-up users and so forth. Over time, though, Earthlink's vision is that this really we're looking at the first truly broadband mobile network. So I think increasingly in the future we'll see devices evolving and applications that take advantage of the portability and mobility aspects of the service.
Is WIBRO particularly significant in that? In that it provides essentially mobile broadband for people in cars driving around?
Yeah, WIBRO and 802.16e, WiMAX, have similar characteristics there. I mean, really, those technologies we're talking about, like a 4G type network.
Right.
Wi-Fi provides sort of the interim step to get there. I think what's really unique is what will happen once you've got you've put a cloud of internet over a city, and people can get access anywhere. I think you're going to see all kinds of applications coming out. Same way that the mobile phone changed the telephony industry. When you left your landline at home and began using your mobile phone, and
right.
Now look at what people are doing with their phones, and they're leaving their landlines. The same phenomenon we expect a similar phenomenon to happen in the data industry, where today you're linked with your cable or DSL line, but in the future, there will be applications and so forth that take advantage of the fact that you can get that access anywhere in the city.
Okay. I was just reading yesterday that a company from Sweden called Tele2 has decided it's not going to invest in landline in the Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, because of what it said was an unfavorable regulatory regime. Does that mean more opportunities for municipal wireless in the Baltic states? And what in general globally is Earthlink or what you know of others doing in terms of muni broadband outside the United States? And are you involved in wireless Philadelphia-like operations or plans in cities in other countries?
Peripherally, we've been watching what's happening internationally. Certainly there's a great opportunity outside the U.S. as well, particularly in countries where there isn't a well-established a landline infrastructure. We right now are focused mainly on the U.S., so we are also looking at, municipalities and cities that may be a little bit more rural that have exhibit some of the same characteristics as, some of these international cities. And there we're, exploring the use of fixed wireless and other technologies to enable, either the first broadband connection or at least the first competitive offering in those cities.
You're going to be going into China
We're evaluating a number of opportunities internationally.
Okay. And for the South Koreans apparently have about an 80 or above percentage of broadband penetration. Mm-hmm. Do you think what Earthlink is doing in Philadelphia is a step in the direction of bringing the U.S. Up to the South Korean level of broadband penetration?
I think it certainly could help. It certainly will help. It really has to do with the mobility aspect. I mean, Korea leads the world in terms of their mobile broadband usage. You know, they have a lot of data applications.
And that's where WIBRO is coming out of.
Yeah, that's right. But at the same time, you have to look at Korea's, the density of the cities is significantly higher than most U.S. cities. Most of the users there are, commuters and so forth. It's not a model that necessarily translates directly to the U.S.
Okay. Could you say, just as we're wrapping up here, what you see is the effect of more broadband penetration in terms of global competitiveness?
I think for the U.S. to be competitive going forward, we're talking about the, we're in an information age. Having access to information is going to change the way that the U.S. Is able to compete with in the global environment. I think and certainly Earthlink's efforts toward making broadband more universally available and enabling new paradigms such as the mobility aspects of broadband are definitely work to that end.
Are you satisfied that the U.S. is moving fast enough? Do you think we could be moving faster? I mean, you're implementing this in Philadelphia essentially by the end of 2006,
mm-hmm.
and you're in discussions with countless other cities. Do you think that this is enough, or it ought to be moving faster? And if so, in what directions, and how could people encourage a faster evolution into ubiquitous broadband in the U.S.?
I think we're moving very quickly. I think the U.S. recognizes that there is an issue. This is both at the local and the state and the national level. I think what we're seeing is government has recognized that the Earthlink or that the U.S. is falling behind in terms of penetration and so forth. And what Earthlink is doing, our solution in partnership with cities is really allowing us to leapfrog where some of the other countries that have passed us in the last few years, where they are. And I think in the end, we're actually going to end up back near the top.
Okay, talk about what Earthlink is doing internally in terms of its structure and the creation of this of a municipal broadband department, and what role you're going to play in other, and what role that department is going to play in Earthlink.
Sure. Earthlink has reorganized, recognizing that this potential opportunity can be very significant. The idea was born out of our Earthlink Next Generation Broadband team, which was a small group that focused on identifying alternative technologies to provide broadband service, such as looking at fixed wireless, Wi-Fi, fiber to the home, and broadband over power line. Because the municipal effort is here today, no longer next generation. We've elected to build a team around it, so we're currently in the process of organizing that team. Currently, we have about 25 to 30 people assigned to the project and expect that number to continue to grow as we add more cities to the portfolio.
Okay. You mentioned fiber to the home and broadband over power line. What's Earthlink's take on their status and importance and figuring into the ecosystem here, and what, if anything, is Earthlink doing around those technologies?
They're both very important technologies. While they may still be a little bit away from us at this point, Powerline, Earthlink's been involved in a number of technical trials with a couple of utilities. One is Duke Energy, and the other is Con Edison. So we're in the process of trialing the services. We've been very pleased with the technology thus far. Really, it's just an issue of economics at this point. Can we be competitive with cable and DSL using this technology?
Okay, you're partnering with Motorola for the canopy system. Motorola also produces the Powerline LV system.
Yes.
That is much better received by amateur radio operators than some other BPL technologies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say anything about the rollout of Powerline LV that Earthlink may be working with or that Motorola is doing elsewhere?
Yeah, Motorola is our partner. Is working with us on, we're looking at a number of their products and how we might leverage those in our networks. The Powerline LV solution is very attractive for us in that you get around some of the issues of using the medium voltage lines. So really what you're doing, it's a hybrid solution where you're using point-to-multipoint wireless to haul the signal down to the local pole.
Right,
and then at that point, you actually distribute the signal down to, say 4 to 12 homes in the immediate neighborhood through the low voltage lines. So that's a very interesting solution, particularly if you look at something like a multiple dwelling unit,
right,
where you can use a single canopy subscriber module and then distribute that signal to a number of homes in the area. So. We're continuing to work with them and trial that product, and we hope to integrate that into our solution overall.
Does that end up working with HomePlug as the internal system for the distribution of the internet access?
Yeah, we are also very involved in HomePlug. Earthlink is on the board of directors of the HomePlug Alliance, and very much want to integrate that solution, even in large cities where we're deploying these Wi-Fi networks, we expect to use quite a bit of HomePlug to enable some of the larger buildings.
So it sounds like Earthlink is involved in all of the leading-edge technologies.
It's been our focus for a number of years. In that, we're working on finding a legitimate third pipe to the home, and so we've looked at it for a long time, and we're very excited about some of the developments in the industry.
Okay, wrap up by just saying what you see as Earthlink's role going forward in the further creation of broadband access in the U.S.
Sure. I mean, Earthlink is interested and willing partner. We want to work with municipalities to leverage their assets. To help them meet the needs of their city. So that's, including creating broadband choice for their constituents, as well as increasing government efficiency for their municipal workers and replacing some of their telecom infrastructure that can be done more cheaply. So Earthlink's very interested in talking to cities, and I look forward to developing many successful partnerships with them.
Okay, I want to thank you for partnering with us to help explain all this to our listeners, and wish you continued success in expanding the opportunities for people to access the Internet in a broadband way using Earthlink technology.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.